have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
You know, I think, Bill, that kids should be in school on Martin Luther King Jr. Day because I think we all have a lot to learn about him.
Yeah, this has come up on the show a couple times that you would almost think it would make more sense to send kids to school to learn about Dr. King on Martin Luther King Day than to
take
have
the day off.
Yeah. John Russick joins us right now. John is the Vice President for Interpretation and Education at the Chicago History Museum. Mr. Russick, thank you for joining us. What do you think of this idea? Send kids to school on Martin Luther King Day and find out more about this great man.
Well, I think that that's an interesting suggestion, but my counter would be to send them to the Chicago History Museum, because that's all we're doing today is talking about Dr. King and his vision for equality in America. And we have great programs going on here today and a brand new exhibition on his life. So in barring the change to the way we mark the national holiday for public school kids,
yeah,
we have something for all those parents who are in agreement with you.
John, the speech we just played, monumental speech, so incredibly important speech. Do you think that Dr. King understood at the time he was delivering the speech that it would go down in history as one of the biggest, most important speeches in U.S. history?
It's a really great question to think about what was in the mind of Dr. King. You know, he was a relatively young man. He wasn't even 40 yet when he was assassinated. So all of these important landmark moments in his tenure as the leader of the civil rights movement in America, you really always have to go back and remind yourself that he was a relatively young man when he took on the mantle of the civil rights movement and really became its chief spokesman. So I think for any of us, when we're doing anything, it's really hard to remember or to feel confident that the thing we're doing at that moment is going to be the thing that we'll be remembered for, even in our small circles. But, you know, the speech was given in Washington, D.C. before thousands and thousands of people. I have a feeling that maybe he knew not only that he had delivered something really spectacular in terms of his speech, but that the crowd's reaction and the sense of encapsulation of all that he'd been talking about with that portion of his speech, he may have realized just how important this speech was. Now, to think that he might be thinking that he was going to be remembered 50 years for it, I think Dr. King wasn't sure where the civil rights movement was going to go. Mm-hmm. Was he actually successful, as successful as we think of him as being? You know, clearly there's work still to be done. So how would Dr. King feel about his legacy? I think that that's an open question.
How would Dr. King feel about the way things are going right now?
Right. These are the challenges, I think, for all of us as Americans. I think one of the reasons we did this exhibition is not just not simply to remember him in the 50th anniversary of his assassination, but to acknowledge that right now there are issues at play, questions being raised about race and racism and its relationship to violence and equality and justice. And it's been going on for a couple of years now, and certainly Chicago is not immune to this. So much of what was going on in the 60s had the ring of this being a Southern problem, a problem that really, if America was going to address it, we were going to address it in these Southern states. And Dr. King came to Chicago and pointed out that Chicago is part of the problem, too. And it wasn't a Southern problem. It was an American problem. And we're still dealing with it 50 years later. So these issues have been highlighted greatly in the last few days, especially. So I think that this is a place to come and look at this story here at the History Museum and reflect on where we are and what we've thought were the ways to solve this problem in the past, and maybe reflect on those and consider new approaches, a renewal of some of our commitments.
Don't you think that there was a horrible irony in what went on with the African nations and Mr. Trump's comments being the fact that Martin Luther King Day was just about to happen? Don't you just think the irony of it all was just horrendously bad?
Well, I think the timing couldn't have been worse in one regard.
Yeah.
But for what we're trying to do here at the History Museum, there's something advantageous about Mr. Trump's comments in terms of highlighting for all of us how contentious these issues remain in American society, and that we still haven't come to terms with these issues. And the History Museum has also involved in our programmatic efforts here. We've brought in an exhibition that's purely about the history of race and racism in America. So we not only have the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial exhibition up, we also have an exhibition just looking at race and in America and how it takes form and how we think about it and what it means in our society historically and in our present. So there are lots of issues, I think, related to this subject that we still need to grapple with.
In this exhibition, Remembering Dr. King, 1929 to 1968, this is obviously not just today, right? How long is this going to be at the Chicago History Museum?
Right. This exhibition opens today. Today is obviously a special day. It's the 50th anniversary year of his assassination, but it's also one of those few days when Martin Luther King Jr.'s national holiday falls on his actual birthday. So we, for all those reasons, we wanted to have this up today, but it will be up in April when the anniversary of the assassination and the funeral happen.
April 4.
And then we'll run it through the rest of the year at the minimum. Probably it will be up even on MLK Day next year. So if you don't catch it today, you can come anytime over the course of the year to see it.
John, what's something you've learned about Dr. King that shocks even you? Like, what did you find out about him? And you say, oh, I knew a lot about him, but I didn't know that.
You know, the thing that always comes back to me, it's sort of a relearning of a message that I think maybe some of us all know to varying degrees, is just how resilient he was. The man was under threat. His life was under threat almost continuously once he had become a national figure. And yet he continued to put himself directly in harm's way. You think about the speeches he gave here in Chicago and the marches he went through where there were people who were throwing bricks and rocks and holding bats and just saying the very worst sort of epithets that any of us could hear. And he had a wife, he had children. At the bottom line, like any of us, he just wanted to live his life too, and he had things that were precious to him. And even though his life was cut short, he was willing to put himself in the line of fire, and that continues to impress me and remind me just what an incredible figure he was. And of course, I always come back to the fact that we here in Chicago have to be reminded that we helped shape King's understanding of the civil rights problem in America. He came to Chicago, and our reaction, this community's reaction to him, was so vile and so angry that King actually wanted to make a point about the racism he'd found in the North to expand the civil rights initiatives that were underway in the 60s, and to remind all of America that this wasn't a Southern problem. And in that way, Chicagoans and the city of Chicago contributed to the movement and expanding the movement so that it really had this sort of national impact that it eventually had in the later part of the 60s.
John Russick is with us, Vice President for Interpretation and Education at the Chicago History Museum, talking about a great piece they have going on there at the Chicago Museum. You want to go to chicagohistory.org. That's the website that has all the information. Who is today's Martin Luther King? Is there somebody out there today that you think best embodies the message that he was trying to give out?
Well, you know, that's really interesting.
That's a great question, Bill, by the way, just to give you, John, more time to think about an answer, because, wow, that's a toughie.
Well, you think about who are the folks who really are trying to get beyond race, who are trying to get beyond the limitations of the color barrier. Not to say that that wasn't a critical issue then. It's still a critical issue today. But who are the folks who are really thinking about equity in all of its forms across the spectrum? There's been so much positive movement in the last few years, especially. You think about what's happened with LGBTQ rights. You think about what's gone on with the women's movement. I mean, we'll be having the Women's March just next week. So much of the protest that's gone on with the Black Lives Matter movement. I don't know that I could actually name an individual who I think embodies Dr. King. He was a pretty extraordinary individual. But I do think that there's a spirit alive in America right now that has embraced so much of what he stood for. It's largely nonviolent. It's committed to justice. And it's not isolated within small circles of people who are looking for justice for African Americans or looking for justice for gay and lesbian people or for women. These groups see the spectrum of civil rights and the need for equality and justice for all people. And in that way, I think our contemporary time, our contemporary approach to civil rights is broad and strong, and it's very vital right now. It feels like America is thinking about these issues collectively and examining what it means to be an American in a new and vital way. So I guess I sort of skirted the
No,
the
that's
question,
fine.
But
it's a tough one.
But I do think that it does become an individual question, though. It isn't up to somebody else. It isn't up to the next Martin Luther King. It's up to all of us. And I think that's the message that comes through here at the History Museum, especially on a day like this.
Very well said.
And we had all our protests in the 60s, but they're coming back. It's like the 60s all over again. So we want change, it sure seems.
Right. And even then, if you look back in the 60s, you know, leaders would come and they would go. People were assassinated in the 60s, and movements that had leaders suddenly were leaderless. And yet, at the foundation of that, the thing that kept that moving forward was that there was civic action on the part of individuals, of citizens who wanted change and kept pushing for it. And I think that's probably the more important message than thinking about who's the next leader. It's sort of finding the leader in yourself.
That was awesome. Great answer there, John. I loved it.
Thank you.
The exhibition is called Remembering Dr. King, 1929 through 1968. It's on display at the Chicago History Museum. John Russick is the Vice President for Interpretation and Education at that museum. It's a fantastic place. I went as a kid on a field trip and just loved it. ChicagoHistory.org is the website to visit. Thanks for being with us today, John. Really appreciate it.
I couldn't be happier to be on the program, and I just want to send an invitation to everyone. This is your museum. This is your history museum. Please come and enjoy what we've done here today.
Excellent. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Quick break, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.